Today is golfs, all the way down, with Lucian Khan. This is Diceology, episode 26.
This is Diceology, the podcast about tabletop games, and we talk to the people that play them.
Big mad love to all the new patrons that signed up. Brad Robbins, Lucian Khan, Dr. Mitch, Sour Doom, Jason Petrie, Sean Nittner, Daniel Withall, Dan, Andrew Brio, Tyler Lominak, Andy Kakowski, and Sabe. Thanks for joining the Dream Hustle. I appreciate all the support. My guest today is game designer Lucian Khan. He's pretty active out on the Twitter space. He also has wrapped up his latest creation, Visigoths versus Molgoths, a tabletop role-playing game and dating sim about the conflicts and romances between the warriors that sacked ancient Rome and 20th century spooky teens. It's set in a shopping mall during 1996 in Los Angeles suburb and has a lot of bisexuals. The full version of this show can be found at Patreon/MadJZero, all letters. Here's my conversation with Lucian.
I would play that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's a mess. So how is, like, I'm assuming wherever you are, you're under stay-at-home shelter-in-place quarantine.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, so it's obviously a disaster. So I'm just hiding. I'm hibernating, basically. I'm like, it's me and my cat. We're like just hanging out. I feel like I'm becoming more and more like my cat. I'm sort of noticing cat behaviors in myself. So whenever we get out of this, I'm just going to be a lot more cat-like. That's just how it is.
Oh man, I've got family right there in the New Jersey, New York area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is brutal. It is rough. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's really bad. Coast.
I didn't know you were right there in the heart of it. So.
Yep. I am right here. I am just sitting here in Brooklyn, but, it's, you know, I'm not going anywhere. So, you know, I, it's weird. 'Cause like, there's so much horrible shit happening. Like, probably 3 yards away, but I'm inside.
Inside. I don't know about it.
Yeah. Just like, I'm just staying here.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That is fair, man. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in New York?
No, I actually grew up in Los Angeles.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. But all of my family's from New York. I'm actually the only one who is not from New York, like all the way back to like 1911, like Ellis Island, like everyone was a New Yorker.
Wow.
And then just like by chance, my grandpa got a job in LA in the 70s. So like, I'm just the only one who was born in anywhere else and grew up anywhere else.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. 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 The reason for listeners at home, the reason I said, yeah, of course, is because Jay and I are actually, spoiler alert, we're playing in a game together that's set in Hoboken.
In Hoboken, New Jersey. Yes. I love your werewolf priest. So we're playing Liminal, and Lucian has a werewolf priest.
You know, one of the standard character classes, of course.
Yes.
You know, your typical werewolf priest.
What was early gaming like for you?
Oh my God. Okay. So here's it's like a two-pronged story. Uh-huh, One prong of the story is that when I was 9 years old, my cousin got the original Final Fantasy for NES for Hanukkah.
Yes.
And I became like obsessed with it. Like I have all my journals from when I was a kid. So I actually have journal entries, like charting my progress through Final Fantasy I.
Wow.
And like everything that happened in the game. It's like really intense.
Wow.
Yeah, so my like whole, you know, like real entry point into like role playing games as a concept and a strategy and like all that stuff, it all starts with NES Final Fantasy I. So like in my mind, like Dungeons and Dragons is not the like standard one in my mind, Final Fantasy one for NES is like, that's what spell slots are. That's what potions are. That's right. What hit points are, like all of that stuff. It's the Final Fantasy one version in my head. So that's nice. Like one direction. So like in, you know, when I was a kid and a teenager, I then played like 80 million like video game RPGs and computer game RPGs. So that's like one side of things. And then on the other side of things, when I was 15, I went to this performing arts camp for guitar. Like I just went for like music stuff. I was funny, so they were like, hey, do you want to join the improv troupe? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I like joined this improv group there. And then a bunch of goths in the improv troupe, like around, like came up to me whispering to me, and they were like, do you want to play a secret game that involves improv skills? And I was like, tell me more. And they were like, it's called Vampire the Masquerade. So this is like
a game.
Yeah, a secret game. So this is 1996. Okay. And then they proceeded to tell me totally the wrong rules for what Vampire the Masquerade is. So they were like, here's how you play this game. Not only is it a secret inside the fiction that you are a vampire, but it is a secret that we are playing this game. That is what the masquerade means. This is a secret game. You cannot tell anyone else.
Anyone. Yes, that is awesome.
So I was like, that sounds fun. Count me in. And what's weird is like, this could have gone horribly wrong, right? This could have turned into like a death cult. This could have like been abusive. It was none of those things. It actually miraculously just became like me running around with a bunch of goths and playing a really like rules bent version of Vampire the Masquerade. And after that, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, you know, I started playing White Wolf games and that sort of, so like, that's sort of how like LARPing and tabletop came into my world. But I didn't really know until much later that these two things were even connected. I didn't know, like, cause I didn't play Dungeons and Dragons as a kid. I played Vampire the Masquerade and like White Wolf games and also unrelatedly lots of video game RPGs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That is that's a unique setup. Usually the D&D comes in like second or third if it's not the first game.
Yeah.
Really close. So that's a really neat setup you got.
Yeah, like I knew a bunch of kids who played Magic the Gathering under the stairs.
Right.
But
wow, really? What's all the hiding of the games?
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe just because they were nerds and they didn't want to get beat up. I don't know. But like, there were like in my high school, there were all these nerdy guys who played Magic the Gathering under the stairs.
Wow.
But,
okay.
And there were people. I found out later there were people playing Dungeons and Dragons, but they didn't invite me. I don't know why.
Right.
So I got the thing I randomly got invited to was this spooky game of vampire with the goths.
That is the best.
Yeah.
Vampire, the secret game.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not how, don't play vampire that way. It's a terrible idea.
That is awesome. I like it. Tell me about Dead Friend. What's
okay.
The story there?
So Dead Friend, a game of necromancy. This is a game that I wrote. It's the first of my games that was really published. Like I've written a bunch of other random things, but it's the first one that's really like out and on the market and sort of out there. It's a two-player game. It's a tabletop game. And one player is a necromancer or a witch or a magician, and the other one is a ghost. So somebody who has died. And the premise is that you were friends or lovers or family or somehow connected before the death. So the structure of the game is like a ritual. It's actually it comes with like basically a grimoire. And it's a very non-traditional format and structure. you each have this spell book, and you go through a series of very specific instructions as to like what to do next. So you never have to learn any rules. There's no rules. You just step by step go through this spell book like it's a magic spell.
Right.
And there's like a frame story where you are, you know, talking about the necromancer like setting up the ritual and evoking the ghost, and the ghost comes back and all that stuff. But as you are sort of inside the other frame of the story, you get to find out everything about like, how did these people know each other? What was their connection? What was the community they were part of? How did this person die? Like, what is happening? Right. And the way this happens is through a series of randomized story prompts that are controlled by tarot cards or playing cards. You can actually, if you don't have tarot cards, there's instructions for how to just substitute in regular playing cards. So the whole thing has a very spooky vibe. It can run either like, you can play it like really serious and intense and emotional. You can play it like spoof horror, like What We Do in the Shadows kind of style. It actually works really well both ways. So like your tone can be really serious or like dark, weird comedy. But it always has like kind of a spooky, like, you know, Ouija board kind of a feeling to it.
I like the tarot card touch. So I'm a sucker for any game with tarot cards in it. So
yeah, it's really fun. You know, it also like a lot of people collect tarot cards, so it's like a good excuse to use your weirdest tarot cards or whatever. I get a lot of like players who are like, thank you for letting me use my, you know, cyberpunk cats on skateboards deck or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah. So that one's really fun. It's been pretty popular. Like it's doing pretty well. It's been out for a couple of years. It got nominated for an award. This is new info. It's like 2 seconds from me signing a contract to have an Italian translation. It's going to go to Italy, and then who knows?
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Dead Friend, a Game of Necromancy. It's available all kinds of places. You can buy it on DriveThruRPG. You can buy it on itch.io. You can buy it in physical copies at places like 20 Sided Store or at all the conventions when the conventions come back.
I know it, man. My convention season is wrecked. I feel it. And then looking ahead, we've got cancellations like Big Bad Con. Where we met last year was Big Bad Con.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite con of the year. And they just canceled that with good reason. But to see everything kind of cascade like that.
I know. It's just like, I guess we'll just sit inside and wait for the world to come back. .. Yeah.
How is gaming online turning out for you now with all these changes? Because, I mean, everything's pretty much moved to online where it can.
I'm still sort of getting used to it. I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, most of the games that I play work really well online, I'm finding that, like, all of the constant video chatting is like exhausting. About it is like making me like sleepy. So I'm still trying to figure out how to like manage my like fall asleep reaction to so many Zoom meetings.
I'm with you. That is weird. I don't know what that's about.
Are you having the same thing?
I am. So I think initially I thought, you know, in the con setting, we sit down, we play 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
That fourth hour on a video conferencing, I'm tanking. I'm like, we got to cut this short. So I start doing like 2 to 3 hours, right?
Yeah. That's interesting because I'm having the same problem, right? Like, and I don't feel like it's a format problem with any of the games I'm playing.
Right.
Right. Like that's not the difficulty. It's just something about like sustained video chat. Right. It's like draining my precious bodily fluids.
Yeah. And then like after it's done, I'm like, oh, I need a nap. What do you, so I know you've got, let's talk about Visigoths versus Mongols. I said that like 50 times before this. I'm like, because I got to get that right. And I'm still stumbling over it. Let's talk about that because I saw the Kickstarter. So congratulations on the Kickstarter.
Thank you.
Where are you now with that work?
So this is basically done. Let me first sort of explain what this is. So Visigoths versus Mongols. This is a tabletop role-playing game and dating sim.
Right.
About the conflicts and romances among the warriors who sacked ancient Rome and 20th century spooky teens. Set in a suburban Los Angeles shopping mall during 1996. So this is obviously surreal and comedic. Think like some kind of surreal combo of The Craft, Empire Records, Bill and Ted, and right. Clueless. It's like very like goofy, surreal 90s nostalgia. Very queer, very inclusive in lots of ways. It's like a very... like the entire mall exists. Right. So it's like, you know, when you play Dungeons and Dragons and you like open up Curse of Strahd and it's like, here's what the entire town looks like. Yeah. Right. It's like that, right? It's like, here is this mall. It has like 24 NPCs in it and 17 stores and all the names have puns and tells you all the items. So there's like this really rich setting.
Right.
It has its own custom rules. It's pretty rules light, really easy to learn. That's the game. It's a lot of fun. The art's really cool. And it's done. It is now available in PDF form, is already up. So that's up there on itch.io and on DriveThruRPG. And my printer is literally in the process of physically printing and sending the books everywhere else. Cool. Now all of my projects will be done and I will be alone in my apartment with my cat.
Nice. Do you have a favorite project out of all that body of work?
Oh my God.
Do you have a baby in that project?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's really how I think about it. Like they're all so different, right? They're like, I don't think I can choose between my children.
All right. No, that's okay. I'm curious. I'm curious if, when I ask that, sometimes some folks immediately, it's this thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Right. Because I like some of the other things that's interesting. You pick that and we talk about that. Folks are like, they're my kids. And so I'm always interested in designers when they have a body of work, if they have a favorite and how they feel about that.
I mean, the real answer is my favorites are the ones that I actually brought into major production. It's kind of a doofy answer, but like my favorites are in fact Dead Friend and Visigoths versus Mongols and the Honey and Hot Wax anthology, because those are the ones that I was like, these are really good like major project ideas, so I'm gonna spend like years on them. I obviously also like my smaller games, but like I did in fact choose to like focus my real time and energy on effort on the ones I thought that were the most interesting. So
go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I like bother to spend 2 years on a project, it's because I actually really like it.
Fair enough. Yeah. I was going to say, would the answer be the same if I said, hey, let's play a game and I want to play something you made? Would you pick?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think today, if you were to do that today or like tomorrow, I would probably pick Dead Friend. But the reason isn't because it's like my favorite over the others. The reason is because it's a 2-player GM-less game and I have so much Zoom fatigue. I love Visigoths versus Mongols. It's like really dear to my heart and really fun. But I've also, at this point, I have GM'd that game like 150 times in the last 2 years because I was such an aggressive playtester. So I feel like I personally need a little bit of a break from running it. But that's not really anything about the game. That's just that I went into like playtest overdrive. It's like that year when I was a kid when I like ate pizza every day and then I was like, I can't have any pizza for like a year.
That reminds me, you mentioned guitar. I took guitar lessons, guitar workshops, camps, things like that. And the one thing that stuck in my head that made me remember was learning songs. And
yeah.
The instructor was like, yeah, when you're at the point where you hate that song, well, you hate that damn song, right? You got it, right?
Yeah.
Right? You have it, right?
That's right.
And I'm like, so when you say that, right? I need some space from it. I'm like, I know what that is.
Yeah, you're like, I know you're a good GM at that game.
That's
you can't,
right.
You can't play it anymore.
That's right. I can't do it anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I, you know, give it a year or two, I'll be back to wanting to run it. I actually am really into now. I love... if anybody out there wants to run my game for me, I actually really enjoy now playing Visigoths versus Molgoths with other GMs.
Okay.
And like seeing what they do with it is actually really fun for me at this point.
All right.
So that's the other thing, right? If somebody were like, I wanna run Visigoths versus Molgoths and you just be a player, I'd be like, I'm sold. That sounds really fun.
Actually, so at Big Bad Con and talking to folks about different games, Visigoths versus Molgoths, the folks that have played, I've heard nothing but good things coming out of those experiences. So
that's good to hear. Thank you.
I got to have some of that. I got to try some of that.
Yes.
I'm excited about games when folks come out and you can feel the energy on them and how they're excited. Like if they come out and like, it was all right. It was cool. It was good. I'm like, okay.
Right. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Was it
was it really? But when they come out and they're excited and they're all hyped and you can feel the energy coming off of them, I'm like, I need some of that. I want some of that.
We had some fun sessions at Big Bad Con. One of the things that was really fun for me is I ran it twice, and in both sessions, each session, one of the players was in real life a former employee of Hot Topic.
Wow. That's awesome.
I was like, this is amazing. I finally reached the Hot Topic employees.
Yes. I've got them. Yes.
Yes.
That is funny.
Yeah.
What do you think you're going to work on next then? Because it sounds like you're wrapping up a bunch of stuff right now. Then.
Yeah. And again, like, I'm not sure what my next move is. I've been so focused on delivering these projects in the midst of a crisis, right? Just trying to like get these things done that I haven't fully figured out. I mean, that, you know, anybody listening, if you want to hire one Lucian Khan to be part of your game design team, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing next. So you know, get at me. I'm on Twitter. But I haven't figured that out yet. I'm not sure.
What's interesting to you in a game?
Oh my God.
What draws you to a game?
I really love there are a couple of things. Uh-huh. I really love to see games that are doing something unusual with structure and form.
Okay.
But not just like for no reason. I like seeing games that are doing something new to have like unusual new interactions between form and content, right? Okay. So it's one of the reasons why I'm really like, I work a lot with my friend Sharang Biswas, is that Sharang and I both are really interested in making games where the mechanics, the form and the structure are in some way a commentary on or infusing or amplifying the content and the themes.
Okay.
Right, it's one of the things I really focused on in Dead Friend, right? The reason why, in order to, you know, play this game that's about like bringing the dead back to life and all this spooky stuff, you're using tarot cards and you're using a grimoire, right? I like games that have this kind of like marriage or unity of form and content. So I am always really interested in playing a game or a new game when I hear, oh, the designer has made a system of mechanics, right? I'm not saying this to disparage, you know, more traditional forms, to disparage hacks. I play all those games too, right? But I'm particularly interested in seeing designs where it's like, oh, the designer has really thought this through from the ground up and is making a whole system, and the design of the system, the purpose of it is to enhance something about the aesthetics of the themes.
Right.
So that's what I'm really interested in, and how that turns out, like the details of that are less important to me. I'm more interested in like, can I see an interesting combination of form and content? And right. then I'm just like, this is very intellectually engaging for me and very fun for me. So that's kind of a strange answer, but that's how I feel about it. Right. I like to see those kinds of like really, really deep, like thought experiments about like form and content and seeing how people have done that.
What keeps you in this hobby, right? More recently than anything else, at least. So I've been in the hobby for a while, and I've seen a lot of different changes. And I would say overall, the changes are good. There's still some ugliness here, though.
Yeah.
It seems like we have these spikes every now and again of ugliness, right? And in conversation with other folks, some of them have decided, it's too much. I'm getting out. But you're still here, right?
Yeah.
You're still in it. What keeps you here? Where's the joy?
Honestly, it's like, this is kind of a ridiculous answer, but it's the true answer, which is that every place I have ever been in the world, there have been mean-hearted assholes. Like there's like just totally like pointlessly mean-hearted, aggressive jerks, literally every context I've ever been in. And like, I say that from a position of like, I'm gay, I'm trans, I'm Jewish. Right. Like I have a bunch of, you know, marginalized categories that happen to be the ones that like people are like really ganging up on right now amongst many others. Right.
Right.
So like, I don't say that as like somebody who's just like, oh, whatever, there's assholes everywhere. I'm like, no, really. There's
there really are
horrible bigoted assholes everywhere. I ultimately, like, the reason why I'm still around in like role-playing games is at least I like role-playing games, right? At least, and like there are so many like cool, interesting, fun, like weird people in the role-playing game world.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, at least if I'm going to deal with these like horrible, bigoted, annoying, like, you know, troll reply guy assholes.
Right.
At least also I get to like meet interesting, creative, cool, weird people at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna fight my enemies. That's just how it's gonna be, right? The Final Fantasy I battle music comes on. It's like na 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 na. And I just decide, like, am I gonna fight? Am I gonna magic? Am I gonna potion? Or am I gonna run?
I like it. That is awesome. I'm stealing that. That is awesome. I like that. Where can the listeners find you out on the social internets?
So I'm super extremely on Twitter. I have nothing else to do with my nervous energy.
I love your Twitter presence, though. So
thank you.
This energy you have carries over. So I love seeing you out there.
Thank you.
Read your posts. So it's good stuff.
Thank you.
I'll put it in the show notes too.
Yeah, my Twitter, it's a pun, so I'm going to spell it out. It's O Theogony. It's O-H underscore T-H-E-O-G-O-N-Y. I apologize to myself and everyone else for making my handle a pun, because I have to do that every time. So I'm really, really on Twitter all the time. And then you can find most of my games at necromancy.itch.io. Also on DriveThruRPG, but Itch just gives me a better cut. So if you're like, where should I buy this? Unless you have store credit somewhere else, I do get a better cut at Itch. That's like most of where I am online. And most of those things have links to like where you can find my games in print.
And I'll put all that stuff in the show notes.
Yeah.
Itch and DriveThru, where's the better experience for you?
It's really like it's like a Itch DriveThru, like, sorry, cut that out because I stumbled. my experience has been that both platforms have pros and cons. Okay. Which is why I have a lot of my stuff on both platforms. Like Itch, I find gives a better percentage cut two creators, which is great. Has a lot of better like graphic design stuff.
Okay.
And like just some of the UI works a little bit more friendly, and has some features that I like. But drive-through I find gives me better reach.
I appreciate you coming on the show doing this. This was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, this was really fun. Thank you for having me.
I will be in touch because I am going to run Visigoths versus Molgoths. I knew I'd get it before the end of this interview.
Great.
Awesome.
Great. Also, cut out Yugoslavia because I think it doesn't exist anymore. I was like, as soon as I said that, I was like, Yugoslavia? How long have I been in my apartment?
That's right. How long have I been here? That is awesome.
Yay. Cool.
So thanks again. I appreciate this, man.
Yeah, thank you too. This was fun. All right. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. It's almost lunchtime here for me, so.
Yeah, it's noon here now, so I'm just going to, I don't know, make some beans again.
Yeah, no, that's the routine. Get up, I'll have two cups of coffee, look at work, do some work. Oh, it's lunchtime. Let me, can I drink now? Is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Is it too early? That's my show. Thanks for listening. The extended version of this show can be found on my Patreon at patreon.com/MadJZero. Dysology is sponsored by listeners like you. Join my Patreon and get access to extended interviews and bonus episodes. Send your comments to me at madj@dysology.com or on Twitter @CoolDysology. Let's make this our regular thing.